Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Adams Road Band for that musical introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We also have with us today Chip Thompson, good friend of ours, ministers in Ephraim, Utah. And in yesterday's show, we were talking about Israel and all the evidences that have been discovered over in Israel, which certainly, I think, would promote the faith of any Bible-believing Christian, because, as we've said many times, the Bible talks about real places, real people, real events. When you go on tours over there, kind of like when we went this last time, we were emphasizing a lot on the archaeological aspects. So right. We were going to probably a lot of places that the average tourist may not want to go, because there's a lot of walking. You're going over some pretty rough terrain there. I remember climbing up to Cave 1, and the rocks there are sharp. I mean, you're putting your hands on these rocks, and they're almost like feeling like they're cutting your hands. They don't, but they... It's sharp.
And Cave 1 is Qumran, where the Dead Sea Scrolls were first discovered in 1947. It's pretty cool to be able to step inside of a cave where such an important archaeological discovery was made.
Yeah, and the Great Isaiah Scroll, the most important archaeological find of all times, was in that cave.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there are a lot of places, of course, that are just incredible to go see when you're over in Israel anyway. But to go, for me at least, to go to a lot of these archaeological digs was, not that I was doing the digging, but to see what others have done was just amazing. And like we're saying, this is something that a Mormon can't do with the Book of Mormon. But still, if we could get Mormons to go see and hear what we have to say about that. Because it's not that Mormons don't have their own tours. They do have their own tours over to Israel. I'm wondering, what in the world are they telling them? Because when I come back, I am just so pumped when I read the Bible and, man, I've been there. I've seen this. I know where this is geographically. We're going to talk about something else, though. We want to switch gears. You work with Tri-Grace Ministries. You have a college house that's right across from Snow College in Ephraim. There was you ran into some problems a while back. Why don't you kind of explain that very quickly, what went on?
Well, this was at the beginning of last year's school, and we have a club at Snow College. It's called the Solid Rock Christian Club, and for some reason they came and they talked to us and said that we could no longer be an official club because we were religious, we were religiously affiliated, and that we would have to be an association. And being an association, we were going to lose the privileges that typical clubs have to be able to use on-campus facilities without cost and those kind of things. And that bothered us, but we tried to work with the school. And during the homecoming week was what kind of brought it all to a head. We had several problems because they weren't recognizing what we had done in the past. We couldn't do anymore, and it was really, really hindering us. And so they had what they call Paint the Town. And in Paint the Town, the clubs get to go and advertise their club and have some kind of school spirit. And they paint it on the businesses on Main Street, on the windows of the businesses on Main Street. And they told us, you know, you guys can paint a window if you want as well. So we agreed, and they gave us a window to paint. And my son also owns a storefront on Main Street. And so he gave us permission to paint on his window as well. So we went, and they painted a cross, which is a part of our club symbol, and go Snow. You know, we were trying to promote school spirit, but also trying to advertise our club. So we got the one window not completely done, but partially done, and then we went to do the other window, and we didn't have all of our kids, so we were just trying to get things going, and got in the middle of it, and they came and the school came and washed our window off because they said we couldn't have a religious symbol on our window. And they came and stopped the students from painting on the other window, which was one of the businesses, because they said we weren't allowed to have a religious symbol, which really bothered us. It really bothered my son that they came and washed it off of his window because it had nothing to do with the school. It was his own personal window, and he gave us permission. So we then contacted Alliance Defending Freedom, asked them if this was something that was okay for the school to be doing or if they were infringing on our rights, and Alliance Defending Freedom took up our cause.
Now, they do a lot of school-related cases, don't
right.
they? Okay.
That is their primary thing, is that they defend students in colleges. That's their primary ministry.
And it has to be a good thing for them to do that, because I think even with the school districts, even on a high school level or elementary level, I don't think a lot of these principals, vice principals, or whoever's in charge of these places really understand what the limits of the law are. Mm-hmm. They just naturally assume that anything religious is completely out of bounds, and that's not always the case.
Well, it's not the case at all.
Yeah. So, okay, so you contact the ADF, as they're called, and so what happens after that?
They said, absolutely, you have a very strong case. There are several Supreme Court cases that support the fact that student-led organizations have every right to paint religious symbols, and it's been through the Supreme Court, and every time the students have won in those cases, and they said the school is completely wrong. And so as we approached the school about it, we really wanted to be careful, because we didn't want to just file a lawsuit without trying to work it out with the school.
Right.
So we had Alliance Defending Freedom write a letter to the college, and we didn't file it as a lawsuit. We just sent them a letter, said, this is what's going to happen if you don't correct this. And the school basically thumbed their nose in our face and said, we're not changing our policy.
Really?
And that surprised even the Alliance Defending Freedom. They were very surprised that the school did that. And so the school basically forced us then into a lawsuit.
And what happened then? You filed a lawsuit.
Oh, it was a long, drawn-out process.
As
red
they
often tape. Are. Yeah, red tape is a long process. And we just stuck to our guns and just said, look, we just want the rights of any other club. And the main issue was that every student in the school pays a fee that goes to support these extracurricular activities of the clubs and other things. And so when the students have a club and they need funds, their fees are what help them to do activities and different things. Well, our students were not being allowed to use the fees that they paid to support any of their activities as a club at the college, which was not fair to the students. So we filed the lawsuit. And then there was a big hubbub, because the lawsuit got published in major newspapers all over the country, and everybody thought we were only doing it like to get money or something. And we had no desire whatsoever to get money from the school. That was not our purpose in doing it. We just wanted to be treated the same as everybody else.
Right.
And if you think about it, if there's a lot of foreign students that come to Snow College, and if they wanted to start a Muslim club or a Buddhist club or any other club, they would have been restricted the same way we were being restricted, and it just isn't right. And so we stuck with our guns and decided to fight it. And it was actually the president of our club and the vice president of our club that actually filed the lawsuit. It wasn't Tri-Grace Ministries that filed it, but we were supportive of what they did because we thought it was right.
So there's no LDS clubs at Snow College?
Not official. They don't need it. They have their
own, that's true.
They have their own facilities. They have their own resources. They have a huge parking lot. They've got pavilions. They don't need to go through all the hoops that we have to jump through to be an official club. And it's not easy to be an official club. There's lots of hoops you have to jump through to qualify. And we were jumping through all of the hoops, and we were completely qualified to be a club. But because we were religious, they were restricting us. And that was the problem.
Oh, okay. The purpose of the club. What are you trying to accomplish at the college with having the club there?
We're there to support any Christians that are in the school and offering them activities, Christian activities that go with the club. And anybody that was interested in what a Christian believes could attend our Bible studies. Anybody that wanted to could attend any of our activities. We were an official club, but Christ-based and biblically-based and proclaiming the truths taught by Jesus Christ. So yeah, it's a Christian club.
Which, of course, if a Mormon was in an area where they were certainly the minority, they would want something where they could available for them, where they can go and feel comfortable and talking with people who share their worldview and such. So basically what you're doing is offering the same thing for those that are more of the evangelical Christian bent.
Right.
And so what would be wrong with that?
And this was the only college in all of the state of Utah that was enforcing this kind of a regulation. All of the other colleges, to our knowledge, had other Christian clubs that were being treated completely different than us.
Do you have any kind of theories as to why they kind of singled you out?
This is a very predominantly LDS area, and I think the predominant teachers, the predominant leaders in the school are all LDS, and I don't think they want to encourage what we're doing, and so in the process, I think we're discriminated against. Yeah.
So do you think that this is going to eliminate the problems and you're going to be okay from now on?
It was settled. The school settled. They admitted they were completely wrong and immediately reinstated us as a club and changed the policies. They worked through that with the Alliance Defending Freedom to make sure their policies were not infringing on people's rights, and I think it's fixed now.
Well, you know, you really hate to have to go through all that when you're trying your best to communicate and explain what the rights are and they just thumb their nose at you.
Right.
I mean, what else can you do except to go through the legal process?
Yeah, we didn't want to do this. That was a big hassle for all of us. And it was worth it because we stood up for what was right and we won, which is important if we're standing up for freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of expression, you know, all of our constitutionally granted rights.
Well, it sets a precedent, too, should anything like that come up in the future.
Right.
A precedent has already been set. So if you were to send a letter of intent, as you did, which I think was appropriate to let them know, at least they would know that they don't have past cases going in their direction.
Right.
So they would probably...
I would like to just say that the only financial reimbursement that we received was equal to what we had received the year before when they denied us our club status. So because we had had activities the whole semester, they reimbursed us for those activities, basically.
About how many Christians would you say are during a school year
attending Snow College?
Well, going to the club and affected by your ministry.
We have anywhere between 10 and 20 that attend most of our meetings.
Okay. All right. That's great. Good news. People need to be praying for what you're doing down here in Ephraim. Thanks, Chip, for being on. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wanted to understand some of the basic beliefs of your Mormon neighbors but didn't know where to begin? Well, starting at 9 in the morning on Saturday, December 7th, Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson will be presenting a Compassionate Boldness Symposium at First Baptist Church in Tooele. Now, together, we'll examine the Mormon view of the Bible, the Book of Mormon, the Godhead, salvation, with special emphasis on how to effectively dialogue with Mormon family members, friends, and co-workers. Those in attendance will receive a complimentary set of notes, and there'll be a book table available for your convenience. Remember, the event is free, though a love offering will be taken to further the efforts of Mormonism Research Ministry. The presentation goes from 9 to 2 p.m. on Saturday, December 7th at First Baptist Church in Tooele, located right there at 580 South Main Street in Tooele. If you have any questions, please call the church at 435-882-2048. As always, we hope to see you there.